You can start turning to 2 Corinthians. I just stay in and around 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I just keep dropping down another verse or two or three or four, and it just hits my spirit, and I feel that it's something that we're to continue on with. But then again, I'm trying to think, well, how do I relay this because we're in the time of Christmas? And everybody wants to know the Christmas story, even though we know it already, you know? And it never gets old, does it? Never gets old to hear of the birth of Jesus and how he came about and the season and all the things that went on around that time. And so I was torn back and forth. It's like, what are we going to do? And kind of looking at next week, we're going to have the Christmas play, and then that'll be the Sunday before Christmas. Christmas is on Saturday. And then, so, you know, a couple of Sundays from now, we'll come in, and it'll be Christmas was just yesterday, but we'll still have a message along that line for Christmas. And it may look in the areas of after the fact of his birth and how we kind of look at some of those things. But we'll see as the Lord leads me, because I don't know about you guys, but there's times that I think I know where I'm going, and it all gets changed. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it speaks in that chapter there, or that part of that chapter, about casting down. We're cast down, but we're not conquered. Then we may get into that, but before I got into that, I really loved and thought and focused on verse 7. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, New King James says, "But we have this treasure." Who here has the treasure? Amen. You've got the treasure, I hope. In earthen vessels. Here, who here has an earthen vessel? I'm looking around. I think I see a bunch of clay sitting in the seats. I see a bunch of clay right there. Some, you know, different sizes, dimensions, heights, all these things. I see earthen vessels here today. And I trust you have that treasure within you. But it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." It tails back to last week or so back when what God has put in us and what we're to do, and it's not about us, you know. And it's all gravitated some weeks back about the I don't have the sufficiency. I'm insufficient. And as I kept reading past that, we come to find out the things that God has put within us, we're to share those things, and we're to make it about Christ, not about us. We're to be there proclaiming the good news and the salvation and the mighty things of God. And that's our focus. That is our focus as we go about this place. It's not a lot of times of what's happened or where I've been or what's happened under my times of doing this or that. My focus above everything else has to proclaim that Jesus came for you, just like he came for me. And he is able and willing and has already can cover and wipe away, or not cover, but wash away your sins. That power of that blood. Amen. If we go through this life and do nothing else but proclaim that, that's our message. That's our message. So think of treasure, something that's valuable. Don't we all have something that's valuable? Our salvation, that from Christ. We don't really at times take it seriously, maybe, or literally, or we think about it, and then life's things comes on us, and we kind of forget about it, and we get buried with the problems and the sights around us and the world and our country and situations, and it easily takes these things off of us. But as a child of God, I have got to do nothing but keep my focus upon him. Focus upon the cross. Focus upon the message, the salvation, what Christ is about, what God is about. I think it says something like that: if I just focus on the kingdom, all these other things will come into being. Sometimes we think we've got to focus on all this other stuff, and God's word tells us, just do one thing. Focus on the message that I've given you to share, that transcends every nation, every person, every country, every nationality. that we all need a Savior, and Jesus was born for that purpose. And all these other things will be added unto you. A treasure is something that's valuable, and I've got something that's valuable. I believe you do too. Now, in the world, it might be, we think of when you say, hey, I got something that's valuable, the world's going to say, ooh, what kind of gold? How much gold do you have? Oh, you got, you know, bullion? You got silver? You know, how much is your market value of your stocks? How much is in your 401? What is all these earthly things of treasure? But it's not like that in that of the kingdom of God. My treasure, my value is Christ in me, the value of Him. Amen. The value of the salvation. I'm going to tell you, salvation is so expensive, you can't buy it. You can't buy salvation. No money in under, you know, little green apples or under this earth can buy salvation. Now, some people may think that. They may have been distorted the truth of, well, I can buy my way into heaven. We know that's a fallacy, and that's a lie of that of the devil. Because Jesus is the only way, and I don't have to pay Jesus anything other than I have to receive Him. Freely He gave, freely I receive. And sometimes that's hard to get that thought in us, that I can actually have all of this from that of God, and it's all just by me stepping out to say, I need Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my sins. I confess you as my Lord. Come and reside within my heart. Well, Tim, how much did that cost you? It didn't cost me anything, but it cost Jesus what? His life. And His life was that, as we know of the Easter story, of pain and suffering and hurts. We got value in us as a follower of Christ. It's something of value that's hidden or kept in a safe place, something that is a very special. It's very important. And we have something that's special. We have something that's valuable. We have something that's very, very important. And that's to go and proclaim what Christ was about. The value of the message of salvation is truly the great treasure. It's not my healing. It's not that I was given a wonderful house. It's not that, I had a blessed, you know, I had good transportation. I had all these earthly things. It's not that I was blessed, but the greatest treasure that I've got is my salvation. And it didn't cost me anything. And I want to hand it out to you and give you that same gifting that was gifted to me. Will you receive it, my friend? Will you receive it, my sister, my brother? The value of the message of salvation is truly the great treasure. To think it has been entrusted to us. Isn't that something? God thought enough of us to entrust the most important message in this world. In any man or woman's life, the most important message is that of salvation. And where is that eternity going to be for you? To think it has been entrusted to a frail, fragile vessel, that's us. Paul was not focusing on the perishable container, but he was on what the vessel contained, that treasure. Have you ever thought of that treasure that's in you? Or is it a fleeting thought? Maybe in your very beginning walk of your walk with Christ, it was very prominent in you. It was on the forefront of a lot of things that you thought about day in and day out after that salvation came and after you received Christ and after you felt something in you that you had not felt before in years and decades or whatever the case might be. Something in your life that you finally got free from. Something in your life that no longer has a hold of you for all these decades. Something in your life that just was always holding on to you, but once you received Christ Jesus and asked for forgiveness, all of that was taken away and you felt there was like a spring in your step. But have we forgot that treasure because of the world's things that keeps coming in upon us? And that treasure gets buried under gunk. And then you got to dig it out. And then when we come to the season that we're in, of that of Christmas, we started off with Thanksgiving. What a blessed way to get into Christmas is to start with what? Thanksgiving. Being thankful for what God has blessed us with. Being thankful to live, I still believe, in the most wonderful country in the world. To be blessed to have what I have, even though food prices are up, gas prices are up, this is up, that is up. Oh, there might be a shortage or two that I have to, like, oh, I can't get it today, but I might be able to get it tomorrow. God is my source. Why is that? Because the treasure that I hold within me. And if God trusted me enough, this frail human being that can easily break, you know, when it talks about jars of clay, I wonder how many clay pots they went through back in the days of Jesus because they fell off the table. And we know that clay and those jars and those things can break and crack and chip. But here am I, that frail clay jar that is carrying the most valuable thing that this world will ever have or know or understand. Is that that valuable thing that you're carrying too? How many here are frail? We're all frail. We even go through sicknesses, illnesses, weaknesses, different things. That's the frailty of us as a clay jar. But even through those things that we go through in this life here, we have a very valuable treasure within us. Paul's not focusing on the container, but what the container contains. The priceless contents of God's power is dwelling in us. And though we are weak, God has chosen us to spread that good news. Hallelujah. Other translations of 2 Corinthians 4:7, the Amplified says this, "But we have this precious treasure," and it speaks here in the brackets, "the good news about salvation, in unworthy earthen vessels of human frailty, so that the grandeur and the surpassing greatness of the power will be shown to be from" who? God. "His sufficiency, and not from ourselves." As we get into the end of my message here, you'll find out those things, that as Jesus came into this world, and why would you not think that Jesus would not, or that God would not put that message in us, in anyone, whether you're royalty or whether you're of a lower status? We all have that value within us, the value in that person that has whatever efficiencies and, you know, what the world will look at. That same value of the Christ in them is the same value of the Christ in this person over here that only has a one-bedroom flat. And it's to let people understand, and I think for a lot of it, it's for our own personal use and understanding that it's not me. I haven't the ability. I haven't the strength. I haven't the agility. I don't have any of these things that it's going to take, but it's who's in me, the power of God working through us as vessels to proclaim the news. The New Living says, "We now have this light." Here it is. See, we got that salvation. That salvation is a light that shines in the brightness. The light of salvation shines in the darkness of sin. I was living for each one of us at different time frames in our life, multiple years of darkness. Multiple years. Some lived in darkness for 35 years, 40 years, 50 years, some 12 years, whatever the case is. And it wasn't until we had that relationship with Jesus Christ that that light came on, and that light was put within us, and that light should now be doing what? Showing out from us to those around us. We have this light, this valuable treasure in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. In the Greek, it would say this: great treasures. We now have this treasure in clay jars. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not of ourselves. And we have seen some things happen to men and women when they got within themselves, thinking like, this power that I got, it's like, wow, look what I'm doing. Really, it's God using you and doing wonderful, great things, whatever it might be. But somehow, if we don't watch that pridefulness in there, we can easily fall into that. All of a sudden, it was in the beginning of our ministries, oh, it's only because of God in me that I can do this. It's nothing that I am. And many years go by, and many great things are happening, and many great things are developing, and all these things are happening because of that, of God and my humbleness to Him. And then sometimes, all of a sudden, that dial shifts over to here, and somebody says, that is such a great project. And it's like, yes, I have done so good with it. And then pretty soon we take away what God was all about and we put it upon us. And that's not going to end well. Because God will not share the glory with any man. It's all Him in us. And so we have to remain humble. We have to remain that I know who I am, and who I am is nothing without God. The message that I share, even if I read something, just if I read a verse and it comes out, and I'm just reading it as a man would, but somehow it comes and it hits your spirit because the power of the Holy Spirit takes what little old Tim is sharing here, like, oh, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and that's the excellence of the power of God. I could just say it that way, but it can hear you, or you can hear that. And the power of the Holy Spirit taking what little old Tim just said, he can magnify it and amplify it to the point where it hits your spirit, where something in your spirit needs to hear that. You need to understand that. You need to receive that. And you will come up after the service and go, that was so powerful. And I go, all I did was read 2 Corinthians 4:7. Really? It's the power of God always moving in us to proclaim His message through us. And all we need to be is that clay, that jar, that vessel, and to be humble about it. Now, if I continue on into these verses, we're not going to get there, but it's one of those things. It's part of this. When you get the good, there's other things that are come upon, and Paul shares that in continuing in verses 8 through 10. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. There's a difference between struck down and then being destroyed. When you're destroyed, you're not going to get back up generally. But if you're struck down, you will rise again. Amen? Amen. Always carrying, verse 10, always carrying about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. That message that we're sharing, that message that's going forth, that message is nothing but we just need to proclaim Jesus Christ. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, God in flesh. Paul reminds us that though we may think that we are at the end of our rope, anybody here been at the end of your rope? Some of us have many knots in our ropes. Some of us have many ropes just hanging there. We're just like Tarzan going from one to the other. Oh boy, hanging on here just long enough. Oops, I'm going to jump over here. I'm at my rope's wit's end. Paul reminds us that though we may be thinking that we're at the end of our rope, we are never at the end of hope. You might be at the end of your rope, but you're never at the end of hope. You keep crying out to God. You keep praying to God. You keep thanking God. You keep worshiping God. You keep on keeping on with who? God. No matter if you're at the end of your rope or you haven't lost the hope. If I looked at that in the translations there, Amplified says, we are pressured in every way. It's like you're being hedged in. Anybody ever been hedged in at times? I don't want to be hedged in. We are pressured in every way. We're hedged in, but not crushed, perplexed, unsure of figuring a way out. But we're not driven to despair. We're not hunted down and but not driven to despair. Hunted down and persecuted, but not deserted. To stand alone. We are not going to stand alone. When something comes against you, persecutions, things come upon you, you are not alone, for God is there with you. Struck down, but I'm never going to be destroyed. Always carrying around in the body the dying of Jesus so that the resurrection of life, Jesus, may be shown in our body. We are pressed on every side by troubles. In the New Living, it says, this is still looking at 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Hallelujah. So as I began to go through that and looking at this treasure and jars of clay, and we're fragile, my goodness, I couldn't help but get away from this. And as I was looking toward the season we're in and reading over and over the Christmas story, I began to consider the gift God sent to us, that of Jesus. As followers of Christ, a wonderful treasure in us that is not of that is not us, but Christ in us. That gift we've already talked about is Christ in us. That gift, the treasure that was sent to earth from God. The babe in the manger, Jesus our Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. When we think about how and where Jesus came into this world, we may be wondering, how could that be? If I were God, I don't think I would send Jesus into a situation like that. But God has his plan and his purposes. He wasn't born in a palace. Should have been. He's royalty. He wasn't received with any type of royalty pageantry, but he should have been. But it was in the stable with Mary and Joseph. Probably some animals. He was born to a peasant girl that we know named Mary. At the time of his birth, they could not even find a decent room to have the baby. Have you ever thought of that? And it all lines up because of the census, and by the time he got there, there's no room at the end. It was to fulfill one of those 300 and some odd prophecies that was spoken before that of Christ coming, that he would be found in a stable or in a manger. I mean, that's fine-tuning it to the point of what it's all about, and God is like that. God is, he fine-tunes. He has specifics that's going to take place, and they're not going to waver from it. Now, in kids' games and things that we would play, and, you know, you would try to do something precise, and it didn't hit the spot right, we used to say, well, it's like playing, you know, that's close enough for hand grenades or, you know, horseshoes. But with God, it's precise, it's right to the point, it's right exactly where he wants it placed, when he wants it placed, how it's going to be placed, who he's going to place it with. It's all perfect on his schedule. Amen? Now, you're going through life and having difficulties and praying and praying and praying and it's not coming. It's not going to be on your time schedule. It's going to be on his time schedule. And the thing that we've got to remember and do is this. Trust him and obey him and believe in him and still say, I love you, Lord, even though I'm going through this. I don't understand it and I wish I didn't have to go through it. The enemy wants nothing more to hear you say, I don't believe in you anymore, God, because of what I'm going through. There must not be a God. I almost hear that of the serpent like talking to Eve in the garden. Well, surely you won't die. I could hear that devil on your shoulder saying, well, surely if there was a God, your prayers that you've been praying for the last 20 years would have been answered by now. Evidently, there is no God. Or if there is a God, he doesn't think much of you. The devil can put just a little doubt in you. Your own little mind will take that thing and multiply it and amplify it to the point of what the devil wants you to begin to start believing. But that's one of those things when you know that you know it's that of the devil saying, well, maybe God doesn't love you because I know that my God loves me because Jesus loves me. This I know for the... You're not going to take the love from me, that my love from my Lord, that the Lord loves me, and you're not going to take it, the devil, and say that my God doesn't love me. He loved me because he sent Jesus to die specifically for Tim. And everybody else in this room, and all those that are still coming upon this earth until the return of Christ. But the devil likes to get into you, especially when you start wondering and having a lot of conversations with God. I have a lot of conversations with God. Anybody else here have a lot of conversations with God? I do, and it's okay. But be aware, the more you have these conversations with God, the devil could try to throw something in there. As we're and I'm not saying to run fearful and not to talk to God, but especially when we get into a lot of conversations of something that hasn't happened and hasn't happened on my timetable, and I'm having some things with God, just be sensitive in your spirit when you know that you're what? My sheep hear my voice. And you better be tuned in to the right frequency of the Spirit of God when we get into these talks with God, especially things that we've been frustrated with for some time. Because I believe the enemy would like to find that and just throw in just a little thumping, you know, just to create some things there. That's not part of my message, but that's for me. Because I question God a lot. I love talking to him, trying to understand things. And I know I'm not going to ever understand everything of that of God. I still have a hard time trying to understand that he loves me at times. How about you? Even now, after years of serving and being with him, there's some things that you just begin to think about. It's like, Lord, such a love. Love, John, you know, love. We get back to that area of love. And he does this because his love for us. He sent Jesus because he loves us. He sent him in a way that we would not probably do, because we would think, well, if a person comes by that way, how many people are going to really listen to him? But he came by that way because he can relate to all of us. So he wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't of that of royalty received. He was born in, by that of a peasant girl named Mary. There was no decent room to have the birth at. He was born in a stable, some may say a cave. We look at that back and forth. Whichever it was, I'm going to tell you, it was not the Waldorf historian or historian, whatever. It wasn't the, you know, the big motel. It wasn't the big hospital. It wasn't, you know, something that was of class. But it was a place where animals were kept. It was a place that was like, talk about the very minimal of life and life standards. He was born there. Here we have the Savior of all mankind born in such surroundings. We read that Jesus willingly laid aside his heavenly glory to come to earth for us. I'm going to jump to Philippians. Philippians 2, it'll help us here a little bit if I'm... Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of who? The frail clay pots. Man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above what? Every name. That at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wow! That's exciting! We're proclaiming that every knee will bow and every tongue confess. My knee has bowed, my tongue has confessed him as Lord. Hallelujah! But here it is. He laid aside his heavenly glory to come to us in fragile vessels, and as a fragile vessel himself. He was fragile, he didn't break. He didn't get sick. He didn't have any of those types of things. But he was fragile enough that, guess what? That he felt pain. He felt anguish. In the times of the crucifixion, his sweat became that of blood. He was under such anxiety and stress of the body, of knowing the body going through all of that. So he has felt pain. And he willingly accepted the pain. Not like some of us that would cry uncle. If I could get it to stop, cry uncle, uncle, uncle. That'll come probably at the times of the end of the ages, and you know, we're not gonna get that, like, you know, denying of Christ, you know, denounce him or die. The mark of the beast and all these things that if we live long enough, guess what? We're gonna partake of all that. Just want to encourage you. Be of good cheer. But if I have to endure it, I will not be alone, because my Lord will be with me. And my God will give me the strength and the ability and whatever it takes to go through it. And I just pray, if I have to go through it, that the last thing out of my mouth is going to say, forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're about to do. They've been deceived. Boy, I don't know. I hope I never have to get to that level. But that's another story, and another time with God. So when we look at ourselves and wonder why God would use us to continue to share his message to the world, the treasure that he has put in us, have you looked at yourself lately? Your hair's like this. You're thinking, oh my gosh. I would just hope if something happens overnight and my hair looks like that and before my wife calls 911, she'll comb my hair before they come. It's almost like mom would always say, son, put clean underwear on. You never know when you might go to the emergency room. And just little things that we're always told, you know. But look at yourself. God thought so much of you. He put this treasure in you to carry this treasure that's more valuable than gold and silver and gems and rubies and anything that's the value of this earth. We have got a treasure in us that has been put within us, and it's not for us to hold on to, but it's for us to share. Allow me to open up this treasure chest and speak to you about the things of God. The light of God, the salvation of God. So when we look at ourselves and wonder, why would God use us to continue to share this message, the treasure that he has put in us? Yes, look at yourself. Has the devil tried to tell you how weak you are? How incapable you are? How inadequate you are? How so far in sin you are that there's no way that this would ever be able to be forgiven? Has the devil spoken these things to us to try to keep us down and to limit us from that of what God has for us? The devil wants to keep us down to miss the grander things of what God has for us and to walk in that level of authority with him in us of who I am in Christ, to put those things down by that of name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. We pray the blood over these things. To break these bondages, to break these yokes, whatever it might be, and we walk in that authority. It ain't my authority, it's his authority, but you gotta know who you are before you walk in authority. In jobs, you're given the authority of a manager, a supervisor, of this, of that. In the military, you're given ranks and authority of ranks, and, you know, a sergeant's gonna speak over a private. Staff sergeant's gonna speak over the sergeant. First sergeant's over that. And it just goes down the hill. Amen. Amen. So when somebody in the military has got rank, they have authority that's been bestowed upon them, and they move in that authority. Their word carries weight because of what they carry on their shoulders. In a job, secular job, your level of organization and where you're at carries weight. But there is a way of having that authority, and you walk in that authority, but you walk with humbleness as well. Now, when I use that authority through that of the devil, I am not going to be humble with the devil. Don't be humble with the devil. Don't be patty-caking him. No, you lay him down right by the authority in you. It's knowing when you use that authority in the proper times of authority. And then know where the authority goes from being hospitable and meek and mild to when the things ramp up and it's of that of the devil. We lose that meekness and mildness. Well, meekness is just power under control is what meekness is. It's not that you're weak when you look that up. But then we have to know when we go from that to this level of these times in our life and the things that we go through. But we're frail, fragile clay vessel. Now, we're going to wrap this up here with when Mary was visited by the angel Gabriel, I don't recall her doubting the news that was given to her. The only thing she said, as you read, was, "How can this be? For I am not married." She didn't say, "Are you sure you got the right one? Are you sure you got, maybe it's the girl next door?" You know? Luke 1:26, and just kind of, that's what I'm saying. You know, as many times as we read these things, it's always good to go back. I get to that thought like, Lord, how many more times can we minister about the birth of Christ and all, but you can never say enough about it. But then you begin to look now in Luke 1:26, Christ's birth is announced to Mary. Now in the sixth month, that's the sixth month of her of Elizabeth having pregnant with that of John. That's a story there that was told, and it's like, oh, there's one that was the John was coming for that of Christ to prepare. Even in the times when John went out, didn't he say, you know, I'm here, prepare thee the way. Well, for him to prepare ye the way, he had to be born just a year or so or whatever, you know, like before Christ to get ready. But anyway, that was like, so this is when it says here, now in the sixth month, she wasn't pregnant 6 months at a time. That was Elizabeth. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. That would be kind of interesting, wouldn't it? All of a sudden, this angel comes in, a bright light or whatever. Blessed are you. And then the angel says to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Oh! Another message comes off of that, if you think about that long enough. Mary found favor with God. Have you found favor with God? Wow. Isn't that something? You just start reading the scriptures, and all of a sudden those things bounce at you. You have found favor, and we have found favor with God. We have. Thank you, Lord. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." You ain't going to end the kingdom of Jesus. Hallelujah. Then Mary says to the angel, "I don't understand. This is wrong. No, how can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel responded and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you, and therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." In your situation today, nothing is impossible with God. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I don't know about you, but ladies, would you not maybe have had a little bit more dissertation with that angel? Other than just saying that? Like, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed. She didn't get into it. Mary, you're going to get pregnant by that of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have Jesus, the Son of God. You're going to give birth. And she's like, okay. How many here, when we talk to God, we've got all kinds of questions? Tim, you're going to, you know, launch out in this level of where I want you to go now in career, or what I want you here is your purpose, what I put you here for. And guess what Tim had? I was not giving birth to a baby. But I had a lot of questions. It's like, what, God? What? I was saying it's a midlife crisis. It's this, it's that, it's not me. I'm not hearing you right. I'm not going to, can I quit my job and come serve you? I'm not trained for this, God. I didn't go to Bible school. I didn't even wasn't raised in church. I am so far away from you. I had questions, a lot more than what Mary had, for being told that this is going to happen. Get ready. If I can learn from Mary, it's when an angel speaks to me from that of God, or when God speaks to me, that I can just take it as it is and say, so be it. Here I am, Lord. I'm ready. We've got to get past a lot of this conversations with him to make sure. I have a lot of questions, and inquiring minds want to know. Mary's mind was, okay, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Hey, let it be according to your word. And then the angel left. And we go on with the story. In Mark, so now we come. Jesus is born, he's come, he's lived. I want to jump to Mark 16. And we'll wrap it up. Because this is why it all comes down to. He came down, and it comes down to this final closing of what he spoke. In Mark 16:14. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And verse 17, and these signs will follow them who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, we get into here again, the end of that, and we begin to understand, well, I prayed for this person and they're still sick. They've not recovered. I've done this and I've prayed for people and guess what? They ended up dying. I don't know. It says right here that shouldn't happen. But I do believe it will happen. I do believe it can happen. I just don't want to lose my faith and my hope with that of God just because I don't see these happening. And I shared that a few weeks back. You know, we talk about laying hands on the sick and they will rise and all these and this and that, and we are not seeing a lot of this. Signs and wonders, we're not seeing a lot of this stuff. But even though I don't see any of those things and I don't see this and I've prayed for people and they still are sick or they haven't gotten well fast enough and all these things, I still, after I'm done and I close the door on that day, I will still say, I love you, God. Thank you, God. I am blessed. I don't need to understand God's timetable. I just need to understand that my God is there and that he hears me. So don't allow that. But here's the thing. So he comes through that of the birth, through the stable, through the yuck, grows up. You know, a lot of things are happening to him. But it comes down to this when he lives his life of just 3 years, really, of ministry, they think about, thereabouts, maybe 2.5, 3 years. He was like 32, 33 when he was crucified. So he's like at 29 or 30 when he finally, here you go, here's your ministry. But it's this, go into all the world and preach the treasure that is in your vessel of clay. That treasure of salvation, that treasure that the gospel to every creature, preach the good news. That's the message, man. That's the treasure. That's the treasure. If the person doesn't have salvation, they're not going to heaven. And I, you know, God is going to judge all that, but I'm just saying by what his scriptures are saying here, if they've not made that personal witness, and that personal witness to them and God is between them and God, not me and a congregation and a church, and that I'm going to check my book in the office to say, I don't know when they did that. But I do know this, that it does say that they need that of salvation through that of Jesus Christ, the greatest healing gift. And here it is. That is one answer to the prayer that will be fulfilled 100%. And when I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was forgiven, and heaven is waiting for me. I would rather have that one be definitive than the one about, well, I hurt my leg and I still didn't get healed, or I've got this and I didn't get healed. I want to know that I know that I know that I'm going to heaven when I'm called home from this earth. How about you? Because this is a very temporal place. But the one thing that I got an assurity of is Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I trust and always want my heart to be full of that of love and light, compassion, to show those around us, me, you, us, the message that is there for them. And that is that treasure that we have in us, that valuable treasure. Amen. Father, we thank you for the treasure that you have placed within us as we've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Lord, as we have that assurity of heaven, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, Lord, even though born of that of a babe in the manger. Oh, Father, the power that he had, even then, Lord, or could have had, Lord. Lord, 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 we thank you right now, Father. And may we never forget this treasure that's in us. May we always want to share it with others. It's not something that we want to hold on to. Like some of the things in the world people have, they want to hold on to it and they don't want to release it because it's theirs. This is not ours. This is yours. But you put that treasure in us for us to share and to replicate with others out there. And I thank you for it now. And I pray that those of us here today and those that might hear this on this website, Lord, that they will take a look at themselves a little better, a little fresher, even though, Lord, we're jars of clay, but we are carrying a precious treasure. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.